The Wisconsin Assembly worked late into the evening Thursday, the last day of the current session for them. After a 13-hour day, a flurry of bills was considered. Many were passed.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. He joins us now to help break down the big day on the Assembly floor. Sean, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
So, were you up late last night? How late did they go?
Yeah, they went until a little after midnight. Thankfully, our colleague Laurel White was writing the stories for those late bills. But, you know, they always go late on that last night, and yesterday was no exception.
And it seems that there were kind of two themes that emerged in the bills that passed last night. One was water and the other local control. Let's start with the water aspect first. Can you unpack the water issues that were coming up?
You had a few bills. I mean, it is hard to kind of summarize what happened this week because there was so much and it covered so many different topics, but you did have a few bills that dealt with water. And one, which seemed like it was going to be a pretty big bill dealing with landowner rights along lakes, would have given landowners significantly more rights to dredge along those lakes. They would have gotten a general permit instead of an individual permit where they have to go through a DNR scientist. It can be a lengthy process. Would have made it much easier to dredge lakes. That passed the Assembly. Got scaled way back in the Senate. The dredging stuff was taken out, and so the Assembly agreed with the Senate last night, sent it to the governor's desk.
So it's the same bill, except something's taken out.
There's still plenty in that bill dealing with wetlands. It's still a big bill, but some of the most contentious stuff, the controversial stuff with dredging, with redefining who owns some lake beds from the public to private ownership, that's gone. And so the stripped-out bill is now headed to the governor's desk.
And there was also a bill that looked to privatize water utilities in the state, and that one failed. What happened there?
It's highly unusual to see a bill come to the Senate floor or the Assembly floor beyond the calendar and not pass. Really unusual. It's happened a few times this session, but typically when Republicans say we're going to do this, they do it. They did not on that water utilities bill. And that is one that just sailed through the Assembly earlier this year. People didn't really give it a second look. Then Flint, Michigan happened. People start giving public water utilities a lot more scrutiny. They look at this bill and they see this gives makes it much easier to sell a public water utility, makes it hard for the public to block that through a referendum, opens it up to out-of-state utilities. And there were some senators who had issues with that, particularly just, you know, taking the public voice away with the mandatory referendum was an issue for some of them. So Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald took it off the calendar Tuesday night, said that's dead for this year.
Interesting. So it really seems like it's when it came up and what was going on in kind of the larger context that might have affected it.
I think the circumstances there, and one of those where the more you learn about a bill, the more questions get raised.
So there's another water issue. That one involves high-capacity wells and the bill surrounding that. So I understand there was a little bit of a surprising vote there, too. What happened with that?
Yeah, it'll take me a second to set this up, I think. But basically, the bill that passed the Assembly last night would let people who already have well permits rebuild their wells, build a new well within 75 feet of the old one, repair their wells without getting a new permit. It would also let them transfer their existing permits to another landowner. So you sell your property or you pass it down generations, that permit would be passed on in perpetuity. It's a really big deal in the Central Sands region of Wisconsin because farmers there rely on these wells to grow their crops, and people who live there are seeing lakes and streams drying up. So hugely contentious issue for the legislators who represent that issue, that area, excuse me. We'll hear from a couple of them right now. First is Representative Scott Krug, a Republican. He's been working on the high-capacity wells issue for a few years now, been looking for a compromise bill that would kind of have a give and take from all parties involved. And what he did was he offered this this plan, this amendment that would do the stuff that I just mentioned with grandfathering in the old wells, but also call for a study of a number of watersheds in his area. And he rattled those off on the Assembly floor as he talked about why that's a good thing last night.
I've been to Morrow Lake and there are problems. I've been to Long Lake and there are problems. I've been to Plainfield Lake and there are problems. You know, I live by Lake Arrowhead. I live by Lake Camelot, I live by Lake Peatonwa, I live by the Wisconsin River, I live by Lake Sherwood. There's problems. They're all in the study.
So he's saying that we're going to study this. We're going to come back with data on, you know, what's really happening here, and that that's better than doing nothing. Democrat Katrina Shanklin, who represents an adjacent assembly district, got up on the assembly floor and said, look, do we really need more studies? And here she is.
This bill isn't actually about studies. This bill is about water rights. And what I hear from my colleagues on this side of the aisle is they're finally choosing science, but they're using it to hide behind their bogus reasons for giving some people water rights and taking water away from other people. Mr. Speaker, we don't need to study a lake that's already dry.
Okay, so now that vote, it passed, as expected. Representative Krug, though, he offered that amendment. He got it out of committee, so it wouldn't be on the assembly floor if he hadn't got it there. But then he voted against it on the assembly floor. Why? You know, it is a hugely contentious issue in his district. He represents a swing district, basically 50-50 district. And so he's trying to walk a political tightrope on that.
Hedging
one.
Hedging his bets a little
right.
bit. We're talking with Sean Johnson. He's WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. We're recapping the marathon assembly session yesterday and what bills came up and were passed. So there were a lot of other bills, but a couple of the bills that you focused in on after yesterday's session was around the issue of local control, it seems. There also seemed to be some specific targets, one a county executive and one the Milwaukee Streetcar Project. Tell us about the streetcar project first. What's going on there?
The streetcar project is the Milwaukee streetcar project, the big priority of Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. He says that that could be used to spur economic development downtown. Republicans have, I think you have to say, they've mocked the proposal. They call it a trolley. They say there's no evidence that's going to, you know, lead to any development, and it's a waste of money. So what they did last night, they didn't completely block the streetcar. They can't do that. The streetcar could still be built with city money and federal money, and has received federal money. But what they did is they passed a bill that said it can't receive state money, and it can't receive money from Milwaukee County either. So that's a case where a lot of Milwaukee Democrats were saying, why don't you just leave us alone? Republicans are saying, we are. It's just you're not going to get any state money for this.
And the other is interesting. It's about whether someone can hold two public offices at the same time or not. Tell us about that situation and what the decision was.
Yeah, this is definitely an issue that, again, it would apply to everybody, but this is really geared at the Winnebago County Executive Mark Harris, who is running for the state Senate district up there. That's going to be an open seat as a Democrat, probably the best chance for a pickup for Democrats this year. You know, widely viewed as the most competitive Senate seat that we're going to see this fall. So what it would do is it would say if Mark Harris wins, he has to give up the county executive job, that a county executive cannot serve concurrently as a state legislator. So, you know, had he wanted to finish out his term as county executive or serve as both while he's in office, that option would be off the table for him under the bill that is now headed to the governor's desk.
It seems interesting because it's basically telling the voters that they can't have that person serving them in two ways.
Yeah, that's his argument, Harris's argument, and what Democrats said is that if the voters don't like this, they could vote him out of office, but they put him there. If they elect him as state senator, they know what they're getting.
And this is, it's also important to note, I think, that this is not a full-time legislature.
Well, it is. It is, but
they're not in session.
No. Much. I mean, I think they're considered a full-time legislature, but the assembly finished up last night. It's mid-February. They have other duties as state legislators, but from here until, you know, the end of 2016, in theory, they're not coming back for a session day.
So one interesting bill that had strong feelings on both sides was one to expand strip searches. What happens next with that bill, and what would it allow?
What it would allow, it would basically undo a law that they got passed last year, which says that there has to be a 12-hour waiting period when you're detained before police can conduct a strip search. Police didn't like that because they said what ends up happening is you have people that either we have to, you know, set aside in basically solitary confinement for 12 hours so that they don't hurt anybody that's, you know, a guard or another inmate, or we let them in without strip searching them and, you know, they're potentially dangerous. this is one where, and it's an individual liberties issue. And people who didn't like this bill were saying you could have somebody who committed a nonviolent crime, not necessarily even guilty of that crime, go in, be detained, and have to squat naked in a jailhouse floor because of this law.
Mm-hmm. And is that one, if it does end up going all the way and Governor Walker signing mm-hmm. it, it seems like there might be some constitutional challenges to that.
It could be, you know, I think anything time you're dealing with issues like that, you could see a constitutional challenge if there was somebody who wanted to represent an inmate in those cases. I don't know. I think it would mirror a lot of what they're doing or what they had been doing until a law that was passed last year.
And just to wrap up, Sean, the Senate is going to have their final session in March. A lot of these bills will be going to the Senate. Any expectations that they would go a different way than the Assembly?
There's a lot of big question marks out there still. Or, you know, for example, we haven't talked about it, but the governor's higher ed package that he listed as really a top priority for him in his State of the State address. The Assembly passed that. The Senate said, you know, we might want to scale that back a little bit. If they do that, if they don't pass the same version as the Assembly, that bill dies. So there's a little bit of drama yet in March.
Sean, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief and covered yesterday's wrap-up session in the Assembly. We have a link to Sean's article on the bills passed last night, and you can find that on the Central Time Facebook page.